with that, we'll welcome today. We have Sergeant First Class Wickstrom. What's your first name?
Eric.
And then we have Lieutenant Chibicki.
Chibicki, yes, sir.
Okay, and what's your first name?
Matt.
Matt, sorry, first name again?
Eric,
because I have a great memory. Eric and Matt, okay. Well, welcome today. I know we were talking a little bit before we started today, but I would first like to get some very hard answers for you guys. So as combat arms leaders, NCOs, officer, I know you guys, you're out in the field a lot, your minds wander, you probably talk about 1,000 things. Mm-hmm. And the thing I'm most curious about is if you had to choose the opposite person, so you a platoon sergeant and you a PL, which Disney prince would you choose to be your counterpart and why?
Prince?
I don't know.
Prince. Any. Disney Prince. So, like, everybody knows the princesses.
What is that? Prince Charming, right? Isn't that what?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. My wife said he looks like Prince Charming.
Yeah.
So you would just go with. Yeah. That's a compliment.
Yeah, it's
is Shrek a Disney movie?
Pixar, maybe?
Yeah. Well, that's Prince Charming.
Shrek? Oh, that Prince Charming.
The short one?
Oh, so the bad guy.
And then, what's the dude from Monsters, Inc.?
That's not a prince.
Hey,
and that's Pixar.
I don't know, but that.
I was gonna say Hercules.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome.
That counts.
You guys can't choose the same one. I'm gonna make that a rule. You can't choose the same one. So
we've been together for 20 months, sir. It's at this point the same mind.
So. Okay.
We are symbiotic.
Still the same rule. Still the same rule applies. Right. You can't choose the same one.
Is Aladdin a prince?
Aladdin is a prince.
Sure.
Technically, he becomes a prince. He Prince of Thieves, at least. You know?
That one.
Okay. Yeah. So Aladdin.
Hercules. Count?
Hercules. That does still count. I just want to make sure. Okay. Hercules. So Hercules. Yeah. That makes sense. He's a combat vet. Yeah. Aladdin's a thief, so I think it says a lot about you and where your mind is at.
Yeah,
so
sure.
I feel like that's good.
I just
that's
thought about
good.
The carpet. I don't know.
just after driving on a Bradley for so long, the magic
just
carpet.
That,
can you imagine? Can you imagine just leading the formation on the carpet?
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I think that would be probably
and then
the best thing.
Everyone would hate you even more because you're like that dude's up there just riding. Here we are in the back of this Bradley.
It'd be way easier.
Just waiting to go to our OP.
Be one part. You know
and no
I mean?
One can hear us coming,
yeah.
But everyone can see him because he's 500 feet in the air thinking nobody can see him.
That's what I want.
But on a cloudy day, that'd probably be pretty
that's
good.
That's what I want.
That's what, yes. All right, so what unit do you guys belong to here?
366 Armor, sir.
366. And what they are, Birch they are Burt's Knights.
Yes.
Is that what you guys say? Like, how does the call to attention work?
So they just say attention, we scream Burt's Knights.
That's it?
Well, hell yeah. Well,
super
so, like,
clever.
If, like... So when we're in a training meeting, right, we'll be like Cadillac, and then don't look back is the response.
Because you guys are HHC, and that's Cadillac.
No, that's the battalion one. So HHC, I think, is what, like, Highlanders. And then there's only one is what the response is.
But we never say
that. Makes sense.
But we never say that, yeah.
Why?
We just say Highlanders.
Oh.
Yeah.
We're just about it.
Have you guys ever seen the movie?
Yes.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the actual, the last dude.
Mel Gibson?
No.
Isn't it not?
This is gonna bug me actually, and I don't have my cell phone because we're. And I wish I did.
That's all the information. Where you've got the blue and the red face.
No, that's Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Yeah, that's Braveheart.
Is Sean Connery also in Braveheart?
No.
Do you guys know who I'm talking about?
Mel Gibson.
Okay, I wish you'd look it up. I know you have your phone, but the. but yeah, so that makes sense, and I think. Sorry, I lost my train of thought because I can't
Burt's
think of this
Knights,
actor.
Sir.
Burt's Knights, okay, Cadillac. Cadillac, don't look back.
Yes, sir.
Wow, okay, that's interesting. I didn't know that, the things you learn from the different battalions. So, PL, what was your first job?
So I was an HQ PL, which is made up. So I was headquarters PL in our Charlie company because they had excess people.
Okay. Don't say that too loud. There's a lot of people.
Well, no, at the time, it was like in 2022, it was like one of those July, all the lieutenants came.
Right, okay.
And then I was like, oh, cool. So I became a headquarters PL for like 6 months. My counterpart was Sergeant Winans, shout out. And then I went to 2nd Platoon in Seco, and I was in 2nd Platoon for around 7 months. And then from 2nd Platoon, I then took Scout Platoon in August of 2023. So I've been...
Here for a little while.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then what were you doing in 2022 when he was just becoming a headquarters PL, a fake job?
I was in Panama at 1st SFAB.
Oh, wow.
And then I PCS'd here at the beginning of 23. Went out and graded EIB first day.
They were like, welcome to the unit. Yeah,
we need graders. Go out there, grade, and then.
Hey, at least you had grading and not doing it, right? Like, heaven forbid you show up and get forced to do it.
They made up for it. They let me go and lead the team for the best sniper competition for the division. Yeah, so that was fun. And then came back from that, and then was put as the OpSAR major for a while.
Okay.
Until I was replaced by a legitimate sergeant major, and then we took the scout platoon generally around the same time, like September of 23.
There's always that weird gap with sergeant majors because, of course, rightfully so, some of them just retire at that time because it's time for them to go and they want to go. And then but it's always for whatever reason, it's during March Madness time, and then the sergeant major academy class doesn't graduate until like June.
Yeah.
So then what do? When we find people like you brand new to the unit and we throw them in, which is great. I'm sure it was a great experience.
Good
I'm sure you crushed
experience.
It. Obviously, didn't get fired and then didn't not get the scout platoon sergeant.
Never got
job.
Yelled at.
Right. So well, cool. Which is a good grading criteria.
That's a win.
No attaboys, no pat on the back. Yep. I just was not yelled at.
Exactly.
That's how
which I think ourselves. A lot of people can relate to. And then you got selected for a busy job as the scout platoon sergeant, which how's that been so far?
I would say it's been rewarding. It's been very developmental.
Don't look at him looking for answers. Like, no, I get it. Like, he's not, like, no, I don't no, want to. No. Has like, it been rewarding? I think it has.
We've been through this together for the last 2 years. So it's been a lot. We've done a lot of stuff. And I think it's an irreplaceable job as far as the things you learn when it comes to soldiers.
Like
being,
what?
Being a platoon sergeant and a platoon leader. Everything. I mean, you're involved in their everyday life. You're also involved when you're stuck in the box for 2 weeks with them.
You learn a lot there.
Yeah, you learn
imagine.
A lot about them. Yeah, and a lot of these kids are young, which makes me feel old. I'm about to turn 34, but like some of these kids
not that old.
were born in like 2007, and it's just a different era, right? I'm 16 years older than these guys.
Right.
So it's a maturity thing.
I did meet the first kid that was born in 2007. That's when I enlisted initially, just for the like a reserve, like right before I did ROTC. So that was wild to hear. It kind of made me do a double take and then sigh sadly a little bit and then just move on. I always thought, and so I don't know if you can relate to this too, because you kind of get it a little bit more on the officer side, because like we are, as you can imagine, we're not like these experienced people. That's why they give us seasoned sergeant first class or staff sergeants to come in and be PL platoon sergeant team with, right? And I remember my first week, my platoon sergeant sat me down and goes, hey, I need you to counsel a soldier. He's having budget issues, and it's just like, you talk to him about budgeting his money. And I said, okay, well, what's that? I was like, what do you mean? But like, how do you budget your money? Like, what is this? I know what a budget is, obviously, but I'm like, I don't do that. So now I got to counsel this soldier on something I don't. I'm like practiced in myself. So I'm like, I guess we didn't like mind our money, but I know it's a tough situation for most soldiers. So it's like, it was funny, like not funny because it sucks, but like, it was one of those moments where it kind of made me realize. And he happened to be an older soldier. He was like 30. He was actually 34. So funny enough.
It's a weird paradigm when you have that stuff. Like, I would remind the soldiers all the time, he's not much older than you guys.
Yeah. Right.
And his level of responsibility is probably tenfold.
Which they appreciate, I'm sure.
Sure. Yeah. So for the longest time, I didn't tell my soldiers my age, because I know, like, some of them might think, oh, there's weakness there or something like that. Oh,
right.
In my weird mind, right?
Yeah, no, it's good.
For me, it's like, okay, cool. If I met somebody who's supposed to be my boss and they're like, 4 years younger than me, so I'd always just tell them I'm 40, right? Obviously, I'm not 40.
Just smoke more. It would probably take care of that.
Right? But it gave them a little buffer. It kind of added to the mystique, right? And it made it like I found that made it a little bit more professional in the way they acted around me. And because like some of these kids, they're like 20, they're like my age, I'm 26, right? I can say that now, but whatever. Some of these kids are like 27 and they act like they're, 12. And I think all the time, I'm like, oh, why am I? And it's just the role, like you're saying, but I totally understood, or I got what you were saying about coming in and feeling like, because I, even at NGC, I was asking about my credit card. I was like, hey, what does this mean?
What's a credit score?
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think it's kind of an interesting point. I did not go that route when I was, because I was an armor officer before, so I was a PL and an XO, and I think, and maybe you can corroborate this a bit, but even through ROTC, they do their best to tell you, like, you're in charge. When you get there, you're in charge. Like, lean on your platoon sergeant, but you are the person that, you know, has held mostly responsible, or is responsible for those soldiers. Like, you know, you kind of share the responsibility, but in the end, that's the burden of the commissioned officer part. And so I think that's, you know, just like you can be blessed with a PL that's not all there and competent. Like, you can be blessed with a platoon sergeant that's not all there and competent too. Mm. And so it's, you know, you guys obviously seem to kind of have this cohesive team. You've been doing it for almost 2 years, right? So that also helps a ton. But to deal with the individual soldier issues, you know, like, it's something, you know, I hate to say this, but we do joke about it, because some of them you just they come to the table and you're like, wild. Yeah, how did you get yourself in that situation? So that being said,
we've had days like that.
What's the wild one?
Oh, we've had plenty.
So they were calling it the Scout Incident Report for a little bit.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not funny. But again, nothing crazy ended up from it. But
we're here to laugh at mistakes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So we can laugh at our mistakes. We learn from them. We grow from them. Yeah. And we move on.
Yeah. So typically with the soldier issues, that's my realm. Yep. The way we divide and conquer things together, that's my realm, and we. I mean, there's only so much you can do, right? Because you tell these kids what the right answer is in life, and you give them that wisdom. Whether they choose to follow that is their own regard, right? But we can only pick up when they fall. And when they fall, I mean, we're there. So when they get a DUI, we're there at 4 in the morning on the first day of leave. we're in the office typing up the Scout Incident Report, and we're doing the things. But I mean, we've touched on everything, and we've tried to prevent a lot of these things. But I think one of the most rewarding things is the aftermath of it, right? Because we tell them, they'll come to us. They trust us to come to me specifically, because I've told them that's not his ballpark.
Yeah.
I'm the old guy. I know what right is. I have a family. I'm a dad. Like, I've done well in life so far. So they take my advice. Sometimes they don't follow it. And then when they fall, they'll come and be like, yeah, you know, you were right. Okay, how can I fix this? How can I move past this and not do this again? Okay, well, here's what we should do, right? Here's what Sergeant Wickstrom would do.
So how do you decide because there's patience that has to come with that, right? Yes. So you know, not only are you a scout PL, or sorry, platoon sergeant, so there's patience with that, but then patience with your soldiers that every leader has to deal with. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to say master it, because there's no master in that, really, because there's going to be somebody that you just, you know, you pops your lid off. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to say pick and choose, but how do you recognize the soldiers that are worth, you know, oh, I know this is a mistake, and I know this is going to be a pattern of just misconduct that's just going to be annoying?
I think for me, I do a decent job at being personable with them. We have a lot of soldiers right now. Like, we have 36, and we have 16 more showing up.
Okay, don't say that too loud. There's probably scout peels.
Yeah, that's their own problem.
That's true.
We're about to be fully staffed and some. So we have a lot of soldiers, but I try to take a minute out of my day to interact with all of them, or one if I see them in passing, and just try to get to know them. Even though I am the platoon sergeant, I'm a little disjointed from the bulk of them. A lot of the time, I'm cooped up in the office doing trackers, doing X, Y, or Z. Paperwork on their behalf, but I try to learn about each one of them, and I think that helps build that rapport to where they feel comfortable talking to you. Obviously, I enforce, like, go through your E5s and your staff sergeants and let them get that taste of development, and then if they do not have a solution for your problem, by all means, come to me. Call me. Text me, whatever it is, and we'll solve the problem before it becomes an issue.
When I was at your guys' level, I felt, and you know, I could have been wrong, it just could have been my little blinders that I had on. I felt like we were tasked to be in their everyday lives, which I'm not saying you shouldn't be, but it was, you know, it was almost preached to an extreme thing, to where now it was you're usurping your, like what you're saying, like your role, the staff sergeant's role, the sergeant's role, to where now I'm almost having to be a team leader and not the platoon leader. So it's, again, not to not get to know your soldiers, because I know you should, and you should know every one of your soldiers, right? But do you feel like, I don't know where you were back in 2012, into where you are now, do you feel like that's changed a little bit? And then, you know, I'll come to you after to say, like, how do you kind of mix yourself into the team to build that trust outside of lying about your age?
So 2012, I was a brand new private at Fort Knox, and talking to the the lieutenant was not a thing.
Okay, great.
They were fully integrated into planning and leading things, but the platoon sergeants were the platoon sergeants. Like, they ran the platoon. He was there to do his portion of it, and if he ever was falling short of that, the platoon sergeant was there to pick up that slack, but when it came to people, that was NCO business.
Okay.
I'm sure, I don't know, because I was a private, right? But I'm sure he was briefed. Same thing we've done since the beginning, right? Like, if problems come to me with soldiers, I let him be aware of them in case the commander or somebody asks. But 9 times out of 10, it's going to be solved before I need anything from him or the commander.
Right.
So I feel like it's just a burden on him that he doesn't need to share particularly. I can solve all those problems and just make him aware so that he can also have that common operating picture on that individual.
Right.
Of like, this guy's going through some stuff, so.
100%. Empowering.
Yeah.
Dang, we always say empowering NCOs, right?
Trying to, because I think it's good development to solve it at the lowest level, because then problems don't go any further, right? And then when they're in my shoes, those sergeants know what the solution is for X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, it gives them the confidence. Mm-hmm. So,
same with me. So in 2012, I was in 8th grade. But currently, how I interact with the soldiers, I mean, so I know all of them. When we took the platoon, we don't have a single, at least E4 and below soldier that we had when we took the platoon.
Okay. You know, 20 months ago. I was actually about that.
So we have like all brand new people. So with that, we kind of got to start fresh. Like, we had no handoff and all that. So we kind of got to build the platoon how we saw it. And we had our initial counseling was just a memo. We literally just talked it out, kind of like this, for like 2 hours about what we wanted to do. And with the soldiers, so my biggest thing is I try to keep it, like he said, like, they don't talk to LT, right? That's the whole thing. And it adds to the professional level, and it forces them to use the chain of command. But for the soldiers, if I see them, right, I'm going to be fired up, right? I'll pretty much just be like, hell yeah. And I just look at him and be like, hell yeah. I'll be like,
does he say anything else? No. Well, I wish he would.
Yeah, I got a bunch of catchphrases, yeah. But essentially it's my job, right, to do all the background stuff, the trainings, the con ops, the draws, make sure these guys are taken care of from the administrative side.
Right.
That isn't his realm. But the biggest thing I've seen is just be the lead by example, or be that guy that they aspire. Like, they should be proud of their LT. I always say, like, my role is like, I'm supposed to be squared away, right? I'm the lieutenant, right? I could do all these nice things. It doesn't matter. My performance, like, individually, doesn't matter. The platoon's performance is how I'm seen,
right?
So, like, cool, I'm supposed to be squared away. You guys are like what I need to be squared away, right? So we've harped on like a lot of like enforcing the standards. So our soldiers, you will see them, they will go to parade rest for an NCO, they will go to attention for an officer, and sometimes it's like they're the only ones doing it. And we see that all the time.
How frustrating is that?
It's super frustrating, because then it's like, well, why is he does, like, that guy doesn't have to do it.
Because they're cool.
Yeah, because they're cooler than you, I guess.
A wise man once told me that officers should be 10% above the standard. So mm-hmm. there is the standard, mm-hmm. but then you're 10% above that. So to leave no doubt, even the simple things, hair, wear and appearance of your uniform, mm-hmm. you know, don't leave doubt that you are that, well, he's on the line, so yeah. It's okay, because you're 100% right what you just said. I think whatever the lieutenant, and then exaggerate that whenever they see a captain, and then even more when they see the field grade officers, majors on this line of standard where they can say, yep, I'm just, you know, I'm there, to then be 10% above that, so there's no doubt.
So there has to be, yeah, there's, you got to be 100% squared away all the time. You're not going to be, right? But you can hide it sometimes, right? So, I mean, he knows.
That's why he exists, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, he knows, like, I used to be a psychopath in the field. I used to not, like, sleep in front of the guys or eat in front of the guys.
Yeah, that's good. That's healthy, actually.
Yeah,
that's
I would eat, obviously, but
the beginning officer's handbook, don't sleep.
Yeah, but, you know, you just got to be the motivator. Like, all the dudes are awesome. They have their bad days. I have my bad days, but just being there present, I thought was like, okay. And like, he always tries to pull me back from being too present with the guys to keep that chain of command. But
it's a better problem to have, I'll tell you. Like, yeah. You're right. I think I'd rather be able to say, hey, let's let them train before, mm-hmm. let's let them get right before you're inspecting the training or doing whatever you're doing with them. Yeah. So you said catchphrases. What's your number one?
We will get there. That's probably my number one.
What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? So catchphrase, I'll share you with you mine, but I probably won't. But if I do, I can tell you what it means to me because it doesn't, it sounds dumb. Mm-hmm. Catchphrases are always like the silly thing. The CG even has his, right? And they're everywhere and you see him everywhere because they mean something to him. I think they're even right behind your head, right? Because they mean something to him. And sometimes we read those and you see them everywhere and they're great taglines. But sometimes you really need to know what that means to that leader so you can dive into that mind. And so that's what I'm wondering. What does "we will get there" mean?
So when we took the platoon, it was during a really bad time in 366 history. It was during that gunnery. I don't know if you heard about it.
I've heard.
So
I was there.
Sure.
Not there at the gunnery.
Yes. So I wasn't at the gunnery.
Oh, thank goodness.
But we pretty much took, I was supposed to take the distro platoon. Something happened with the scout platoon. And then I ended up taking it. He was on con leave, but then he joined us after we got back from that gunnery, which was like a week.
They put us there to fix the platoon, essentially, is what we were told.
Ish, yeah.
They were in a bad spot.
Is it fixed?
And they wanted, I would say, absolutely.
Well, I think we're getting there, right? But so when it came to that, so it was a lot of stuff, and then from that, it was a lot of stress on me, at least, and I'm sure him, because we had that from August, end of August to October, we had to shoot a gunnery, and these guys didn't do well the first gunnery, so
right. It
was tough to keep them motivated. They were doing sims all the time, and every time we'd fall short of something, I would just say, "We will get there," and I've said that probably every time. So it could be as simple as a run. Someone falls out. I was like, "Yeah, we'll get there, right?"
The backside of Apennines, not even the backside, just on Apennines.
Just
that road will get you.
I've always said we will get there, and then NTC, I was like, "Hey, this and UCOM's there."
Yeah.
It's been a completely different platoon that we saw August of 23 to NTC. We were able to go out by ourselves. I could trust just an E5 and a gun truck to find a good OP and to observe, and I can trust Private Thomas to fly a quadcopter wherever it needs to go. They even can fly Black Hornets through a JLTV that moves. They're getting there. So I think there's a generic concept that's far and outreaching, and you're never going to get there. But if you're always striving to get there, then...
It's going to be a silly question now, but do you define what there is? I mean, I know easy to say NTC and UCOM are there, but to a soldier flying what did you just say? I'm so sorry.
The Black Hornet.
The Black Hornet through a JLTV. Mm. Is that there for him? Because that sounds pretty cool.
So there is, so obviously there for me is very ambiguous, but there for the soldiers is pretty much, they all have their individual goals and plans that they work with their counselings, right? With their E5s and E6s. And we kind of sync it, so there could be, ACFT, just getting there or getting off, if someone's on ABCP there. Or I know a lot of people are trying to go to air assault or a scout leader's course or just emulating something. But each soldier has their there. I have my own there, right? Sergeant Wick's got his there, so.
Yeah. Does he have any catchphrases?
I call the dudes goobers. That's my thing. Take it with what you think it means. Depending on the situation.
Don't ask the meaning because it's one of those various meaning words.
I think we both started the "we will get there" thing. We kind of shared that. And like you said, his mind's going to be different than his because I have a different perspective on things. From my side of the house, right, on the enlisted side as a senior NCO. But I think I share the "there" for me is that perfection. You'll never hit it, but eventually you'll get pretty close.
It's the aim, right?
Yeah. I think the tough thing in the Army is you never have the time to get there because, I'm leaving this summer. He's going to a new job here soon. The unit's deploying. I won't be there. So we're just trying to hand off a better product so that they can keep going to the there. But you have changeover all the time with your staff sergeants and your sergeants, and then your new ones are promoting, and they're trying to learn. So it's an ever-evolving ball that just keeps rolling, and I feel like for me it was the "we'll get there" is standards and discipline, physical performance, just that buy-in from the platoon of everyone's on that cohesive same page of we're committed and we're going to do the right thing, we're all going to hold ourselves accountable.
I think that buy-in's important.
It is.
And it's one of those buzzwords of leaders tell you got to get buy-in from your soldiers, you got to, it's I can't really say why it's important. It's just, it's so important because if they're there to follow you guys, because you guys lead by example, you guys set the standard, you guys live it to one, you know, just watching enough, you know, I hate to compare them to children, but that's what, you know, children will learn from watching more than anything else. And so, you know, soldiers are not that young, but they're impressionable all the same, that if their leaders are doing it, because again, you're getting brand new soldiers, right, all the time, varying ages, varying experiences, varying leadership, like, I don't want to say icons, but like people that they looked up to prior to you guys. And so now you guys are trying to level that bubble. And so I think that, you know, buy-in's very important. It seems like you guys have done a pretty good job. You know, we'll maybe get one of your other sister platoons in here and see if what you guys are saying is actually true, or if you're just saying it for the camera.
Like any platoon leader, when you first get a platoon, now granted I had a couple months in the line company, but when I got the scout platoon, I was super micromanaging. I think I even said in my initial counseling, like, if I ever overstep, please just call me out. Like, it's super cool. But I think I was super micromanaging. And I know he was super micromanaging in a sense, because you got to build that trust.
Right.
You got to trust your NCOs. And, you know, they have to trust you.
It's the awkward things we don't like to talk about. Yeah. It's like, hopefully it works out.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what it was. But I was super micromanaging, and I, at some points, you know, I still am. But once I was able to take my hands off and just, like, give out priorities for the day, task condition standard, and then I'd get sit reps at the end of the day. And if they were good, if they weren't good, I'd get a heads up and, like, a ETA of when it's going to get done, so I can at least have some foresight. But once I started feeling that, probably this past summer, building up to September, which was gunnery for us, all the crews went out. I felt super confident in that. They all did super well at gunnery, and then going to platoon live fire, again, felt super comfortable. And then, of course, 19 Charlie hit, broke all the crews, right? But you know, still, I know that even with the scout platoon, we have so many, you know, cool stuff.
Like, yeah.
So we've always cross-trained soldiers on either JLTVs or, hey, you're going to fill in today, you're going to try, you know, the Bradley out. So it's always awesome to see that. But once I saw, like, the buy-in from, like, the junior enlisted and then the E5 population, right, because, you know, I seniorate the E6s, so if that's somewhat buy-in, right, but when you have soldiers that's just like, okay, cool, they're buying in, they're getting after at PT.
They care about the performance of the platoon.
Exactly. Once you start seeing that, they start walking around and they start picking on the other platoons, you know.
It's because you guys are better than everybody else.
Well, that's what they say. You know?
You would never say that.
No, you would never.
Yeah, you would say you're even keel or even worse than some platoons, right?
We're here to enable, sir.
That's
we're
right.
the enablers.
Okay. Okay, now that's prior to NTC.
Sir.
How'd you guys feel at NTC?
So I think back to last year when we were doing battalion sticks, or platoon sticks, really. It was like company and platoon sticks, and it was tough. Very micromanaging on both ends of us. And going out to NTC was like a breath of fresh air, because like you said, we could delegate down a task and a purpose, and they would execute. And they were feeding us information so that we're not having to poke, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? Where are you at? It was all being fed to us, and we were kind of just doing C2, which was nice. And we were just command and controlling
That's wild.
The little things. And I mean, I felt like we did a great job at enabling the battalion as best we could with, like, it's comms.
Right.
Comms are always a thing. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we had a good setup, and I think the guys did well. And I think props to them. I mean, they've come so far.
So with that, and I think you guys have both said micromanaging, and it's like a negative pejorative, right? Like, because you guys are leaders are not supposed to be micromanaging. Mm-hmm. But I think after listening to you here for a little bit, I think you guys are in a position to be micromanaging, to be honest with you. Had the new platoon, you really needed to make sure that your standards were going to be all the way down. And that's where I think you know, I'm no expert on leadership, obviously, but where some fail to break away from, they either maintain that micromanaginess because they're so worried about them. To be honest, I think they're worried about themselves and what they look like. And what you were saying earlier, like, it's not like what you look like is the platoon. So it's sometimes concerning to be micromanaging to a certain extent. But then the freedom that comes with what you guys are talking about, your experience at NTC, I mean, that's got to feel pretty good, right?
Yeah. 1,000%. And that's, again, that's through 20 months of cohesion yeah. at the PSG and PL level, which
continuity.
Not a lot of people get. So
right.
we were yeah. able to do that throughout time, and then ending it with an NTC was pretty awesome to see. So you got to see like the fruit of your labor all the way up to yeah. NTC. So I mean, that was super reassuring to me, because the whole time as a PL, it's super nuanced. Like, you don't know if you're doing well,
right?
Because like, if he's doing his job well in Garrison, I'm just sitting there like waiting for like some land to open up so we can plan something.
It's almost like you're doing well if you're not being bothered, right? Yeah, that, and so it's, you know,
again, like he said, like if we're not getting yelled at or fired, we're crushing it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's,
which is a sad standard, but nonetheless, yeah. it's still standard. All right, so you said that you're moving on this summer. Where are you going?
I'm going to UT Austin ROTC program.
Wow, that's super exciting. As the senior enlisted like trainer or something, or
MSI one.
Okay,
I'll be teaching the sure. freshmen.
That's a
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I remember what that time was like. Mm-hmm. So good luck with that. That
Thank
sounds
you.
Super.
It's a cool location.
I was gonna say yeah, because San Antonio would be good. What are you moving on from PL time?
Yes, sir. I'm gonna be the rear DOIC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prior to, are you going to career course soon or?
I'm getting out, sir.
Oh, yeah. Great. Okay. Yeah. What are you going to go do?
Well, we're gonna move back to the East Coast, my wife and I, and then I'm gonna look to do probably a three-letter agency, or project management at some level. You know, the typical cliche.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. No, that's good. Yeah, get your PMP certificate, and then you please do a good job. Please, like we're all probably really relying on you more than you know.
I do my best.
All right, so before we kind of close here, we talked about how you guys were the best, and before we started even recording, you guys were really all up into yourselves about how we're the best, not only the best cow platoon, but we're probably the best platoon in 366. You'd probably be able to put yourselves up against any other platoon in 1st Brigade, and then when I even mentioned 2nd Brigade, you guys just laughed, like scoffingly, almost like an evil bad guy in a movie. Yeah. So who, like, if you were to kind of do a... to put yourselves up with anybody in first limited to 366, who do you guys think is in your guys' even possible realm of greatness?
It's tough. You're that, or I just have an ego.
No. You're saying like platoon.
Yeah. Like you don't have to name names, but you just like, I think this platoon in this company.
Well,
naming names would actually be really good.
It's different, right? I'm gonna do the political thing here, right?
Oh my gosh. Because
we're a scout platoon, so it's different. So the only platoon that would kind of match up in complexity is mortars. So
you said complexity and mortars in the same sentence.
Well, it's ironic, I know, but so the mortars, they have like a lot of even keel, because when you get to a specialty platoon, it's weird. It's a lot more hands off, and you're trusted with a lot more to kind of do your whole planning.
Right.
So you can't compare specialty platoon and line platoon.
You're kind
for
of just
sure.
expected to yeah. be doing the right thing and know what where you should be in placing yourselves to enable.
Yeah.
Because I did a brief stint in our Charlie company, and it was very. You have a commander there telling you guys down to the platoon level exactly what you're doing.
Right.
And the scout platoon and the mortars, you kind of have the freedom to go where that point of friction where you should be.
So you guys did not bite on my question of creating division within your thing, which is not my goal. So then let's end with this. What special platoon leadership does come with increased responsibility and a little bit more freedom. So what... from your platoon sergeant time, even the little bit of time you had, maybe previous time before coming to Fort Riley, mm-hmm. and your PL time 4, like what helped, you know, set you apart to say, hey, this is what worked for me, and like the transition. So if you're going to go be a scout PL, mortar PL, platoon sergeant, you know, what are some of the things that you need to really kind of hone in on that you didn't have? Like the skill sets weren't there because you just never put in that position.
So the biggest thing was... accountability, counterpart accountability too, keeping each other in check. And then also like being humble enough to ask questions, right? So HHCXO typically probably was one of those spots. I would bother good old Lieutenant Larson, great dude. Mm. I would bother him.
Sounds great.
For everything if I didn't know it. And also just, it became easier when you got a sense of like, if you care enough, you'll go out and look for answers. And if someone knows the answer, they're gonna help you. So I was super blessed with that. And then just overall presence in like, if my platoon's there, I'm there, you know, overall leadership skills, leading by example. But I think as a lieutenant that didn't know a lot, still doesn't know a lot, right? But having that, the courage to go out and ask, like, hey, And you're going to look stupid, but you're expected to look stupid. That's why you have him. You
Humble know? Yourself so, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, and then even just asking him, like, hey, does this timeline look okay? And he's like, that is awful. You know, that's completely fine.
Go back to the drawing board. Yeah. That's why we have a whiteboard, just for instance.
Yeah, a big whiteboard, yeah.
What about you?
I think from my side, it's accountability is a huge one. Also, ownership is probably mm-hmm. the biggest to me personally.
Right.
I think owning your problems or owning your profession, I think as a senior NCO, especially as a platoon sergeant, you have a lot of weight on your shoulders to make sure your guys are taken care of. And understanding and owning all their problems and finding solutions and understanding how the Army works. I feel like if he is, or the company commander is, or my first sergeant is, or anybody's telling me that I have to do something, I feel like I'm failing. So I try to get ahead and I try to understand, okay, and read those second and third order effects so that I can get ahead of all that and have the leg up with my soldiers and make sure that we're squared away. Something as simple as, okay, as soon as you come back from the field, right, we're doing loss and damage statements, we're doing our layouts, we're getting our dude stuff DX'd, and by the time the rest of the company's doing it, we're done and we're ahead. And then my guys get time off because right. we're so far ahead of everything. Our vehicles are clean, they're to standard, everything's reset. And that's just, it comes with experience because we weren't great at it at first, yeah. but we got better at it and I learned better at it and I can refine the system a little more to make it a little more streamlined and give the guys the time off because that's what soldiers want. They want time off. So instead of sitting in the motor pool for 2 weeks doing all the stuff after the field, we can knock it out in 2-3 days. And then that extra time while the rest of the battalion or the company's doing recovery, we're hanging out, we're doing classes. I'm trying to cut the guys out, send them to the gym, get some extra PT in, make up for the days in the field,
right.
stuff like that. I think just owning your job and then enforcing that on your NCOs, like having them own their soldiers. And I think that solves a lot of problems across the Army if people just care a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thanks for coming out. I really appreciate your guys' time. I think you guys set a pretty high standard for what I think it takes to be a good PL platoon sergeant. And I know especially platoon leader, platoon sergeant have a little bit more experience, but I don't really think that negates the responsibility of non-specialty platoon leader, platoon sergeant teams who can also be doing the same thing and leading from the front. So thanks, I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir.
Yeah, that was great. Is it great?
I did not great, but you guys did great.
We didn't.